Hi, everyone. Welcome to From the Hip Season 2. I am sitting here today. This is Dawn Burks with the Hip Hop Book Club. I have four very energetic young gentlemen here with me today. Give me your names.
This is Sobe. Yeah. We'll do it like that. We won't
Let's
start like
do
that.
It like yeah, that. Yeah.
Yeah, what's up? This is AT.
Yeah, what's going on? This is T. Lee.
And I'm the breathtaking Kenny Reeves.
And he is that. He's breathtaking.
Yeah.
I mean, this jacket is all that.
He's out here flying, man. Where'd you see these pictures?
Right. So we're here. And, of course, Benjamin Robinson is over there, the producer with the most. And we want to talk about this event that is gracing our fair city.
Okay.
Big D has Hip Hop Book Club now, where we're taking the old concept of a book club, right, guys?
Right.
And we're turning it on its head for a new age. Exactly. We're talking hip hop.
100%.
New classics, old classics. Mm-hmm. When's your next event?
Well, the next one will be April 24th at Josie Records. We'll be covering Reasonable Doubt by Jay-Z.
Whoop! Reasonable Doubt.
Yes. Yeah.
Classic. I told these guys earlier, and I'm going to tell you now, that I have such feels for Reasonable Doubt.
That's what we need.
Because I'm telling you, what Jay-Z then, like you go to a Jay-Z concert now and you get the radio hits because he's crossed over so much that he has so many people to please.
Right.
But Reasonable Doubt to me was when bruh was before he dumbed down his lyrics for his audience. He said that. I didn't say that.
He did say that.
So wait, you think he dumbed down a little bit?
A little bit.
We can talk about it.
We
got three J
stands. I'm a stand.
Four.
There. Okay.
There we go.
And I'm a stand for his wife,
five,
too.
Five. Shout out to Ben.
We got five. What up, man?
Oh, yes.
You're part of the Beehive, y'all.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
There it is.
I came at the Beehive last week. We're not going to bring it
up. But I'm a critic, so I'm honest with my stand.
That's how you have to be.
Yeah, I'm an honest stand.
That's how you have to be. That's good.
But, I mean, I love Jay. I think he recognizes what he has to do in order to make the dollars because he fired shots in Reasonable Doubt, letting people know exactly that that's what he was about.
Right.
From top to bottom of that thing.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, I told you, download it on the phone. It plays at inopportune times. But okay, we can devolve into, not devolve because it's Jay. I can't use that word, can I?
I mean, you can do what you want to do.
No. Bad connotations, bad denotations.
Okay.
I got
journalism.
Right, journalism. Hey, we call it the rock of truth.
Okay.
Hashtag rock of truth. So we believe in fairness. So we're going to be fair to Jigga here, and we're going to quit talking about him right now, and we're going to focus on Hip Hop Book Club. So, Kenny, first question.
All right.
Tell me about how this came to be. Whose idea was this?
It's pretty much a collaborative effort. We have a group chat for our Good Culture brand. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about, interpreting hip hop. So another guy in the group named Dominique, he was talking about shout out to Dom. He was talking about listening to Jay-Z, and I followed with, thank you. I appreciate you for that. Let me go ahead and do my yearly thing. I do a thing yearly where I just consume an artist's catalog from front to back. And then Atai said, well, let's do it together as a family. And I said, well, now let's make an event out of it. And then Hip Hop Book Club spawned from that. It was an organic conversation that we were just talking hip hop, and then we wanted to present the way we interpret hip hop to the Dallas-Fort Worth community and to the world.
Okay, I get that. So how did, once you decided that you were going to do this, how did you decide venue? How did you decide you wanted to present it to the local, quote unquote, well, forget the quotes, I'm going to say it, the fragmented hip hop audience that lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth
that
area?
That was on our heart.
Well, I mean, we took that into consideration, everything that you just pointed out. But what we also knew was that the discussion that we had in that moment that, the concept was created was so dope that we needed to pick a venue that was just as dope as that conversation and a venue that would represent the feel of music.
Right.
So so far as Josie Records being considered, that was pretty much Kenny's recommendation. we had our ups and downs, you know, deciding on a venue. But looking at the number that turned out, I'm glad that's where we did it. Yeah. But everything about Hip Hop Book Club is, like you said, it's about uplifting Dallas's appreciation for hip hop in general. And we break it down, you know, once you come to the event and enjoy the discussion with us.
Plug.
But shameless plug. But,
it's not shameless.
That's because, what we're here for, right?
Exactly. And exactly, that's what we're here for. To sum up what I'm saying, that's what we're here for, is to uplift this city's appreciation for hip-hop.
Because this city has a really long history with hip-hop. It's not all teaching people how to dance. No shade. There.
I love that.
But let's talk about that.
No,
man.
You know, Atai's the guy.
Okay, Atai, let's talk about
that. Dallas hip-hop guy.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Here's my thing about Dallas hip-hop as a whole. Mm-hmm. You're right. Like, it is, we do have a long history, like, with hip-hop as a whole. And I think everybody tries to, like, water down who we are and what we are because of the dance movement that happened in the mid-2000s. But that's just as much a part of us as, you know what I'm saying, the DOC and all the other artists that came before him. Like, when you really go back and look at the history, like, Dallas has been dancing. And Dallas dances just as much as New York and Chicago and L.A. and Atlanta and all that. You know, that's just a part of, that's a part of who we are. So, and when people say, you know, Dallas hip hop, I don't really want to include the boogie and the dance and the dougie and all that stuff. No, include that.
It's all the same. All
so
the
now same. You see that Atai gets sensitive about the Dallas boogie.
Atai's going to get the keys to the city one day, man. Watch.
It's
we said it here
heart.
First.
It's always going to be on my heart.
But no, I understand what you mean. I wasn't, well, forget it. Because, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. It's all part and parcel. But I've been here this time. Let's see. I lived here. I was a pup in the late 90s. And I learned a little bit about the scene then. But then it was like all jazz all the time. And I had to dig deep underneath the surface to find the hip hop.
Yeah.
And then once I found it, it was almost like, shh, don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And now I've been back in Dallas for about 10 years from Atlanta, which was just hip hop everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody you met was, I got a demo. Want to hear it? Yeah. No. I don't. You're 50. Your life is what it is.
Hey, have you heard of 52 Savage? 52 Savage. That's my guy. Shout out to 52 Savage.
He's a Dallas resident, by the way.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, where, you need to get him up here next.
Him up here next. Hey, spread the word. I'll talk to them all. Because really, what I'm trying to do is shine a light in places that haven't been getting it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, with my show, I want to talk to people because I want to tell the stories that haven't been told.
That's dope.
And we appreciate that.
Well, I thank you for thank you for being here.
Definitely appreciate that.
And so my other question is, do you guys decide by a vote what you're choosing?
Yeah, it's definitely a collaborative effort. I mean, we'll sit around, we have conversations about music all the time, right. You know, as we all said, but what we just like to do is just throw in ideas. Like, we've thrown around numerous records, mixtapes, everything.
Yeah.
You know, since we started, and we're only going to our second one now. So again, it's just kind of what the vibe feels like. We'll look to see who's, I don't know, maybe turning 20, or, you know, what album has an anniversary for that year, or that month. You know, we'll just try to just bring something new every single time.
So there's some criteria for it. Like, you're not just like, hey, I'm vibing on this one thing and nobody else is.
Right.
We're going to listen to it and talk about it no matter what. There's some criteria.
Yeah, definitely a framework.
Okay.
And the vote is 3-1 all the time. You know?
Who's the dissenter?
All right. So
it always changes.
It does. Yeah.
It always changes.
You would think that it'll be like me and T. Lee and Sobe and A.T., but then sometimes it's me and A.T. and Sobe and T. Lee. So.
Yeah.
2-2 is never fun because you have to argue that. The best one is 3-1.
It feels like to me that if it's unanimous, you kind of just want to throw it out. Like, no, we don't want that one. Let's go to another one.
I would say nothing that we do is easy as it's going to look on stage.
Right.
Nothing that
There's
we do.
There's a lot of work that goes into this.
Yeah.
I like to think that about myself. Nothing is as easy as it looks.
Yeah. I speak for myself, but I'm pretty sure they can agree. But I think I underestimated how much work actually goes into sitting down and listening to something and listen to it with a different ear.
Yes.
So that we're able to talk about lyrics and production and visuals and influence. Like, there's so much that goes into it. So, it's definitely a lot of work, but it's fun. You know, it's a challenge every time. So I think that's another criteria that we have. We don't want to pick something that's just super, super easy. Yeah. Right. So we go up here and just, you know, we start rambling. Like, that's not the point. We want to learn.
Well, hip hop is very personal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because these lyrics, the metaphor, the idiom, they all turn out to mean something different each listener.
Yeah,
it's poetry.
Yeah. Right.
And a lot of people miss that part of it. Mm. And when I might hear a line and hear something totally different than what you hear, which is why I'm glad that rappers don't list their lyrics out like Michael Jackson did, where you can just sing along. Right. I like the mystery of the lyrics. I want to sing incorrectly. You know,
that's the dopest part about Hip Hop Book Club too, because it's interpretive. Mm-hmm. So if we're all interpreting the album, we have a chance to kind of exchange notes and talk to one another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You might can find out something or at least see someone's perspective that you never thought of. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of what we're doing.
Yeah. I think that is the beauty of what you're doing. And that's one of the things that attracted me to it so much. I mean, I became fans before I met you guys of what you were doing.
I might shed a tear right now. But I'm a choir of the group anyway. So
right.
Thug tears only, though. Thug tears.
Thug tears. Yeah,
look,
thug tears.
You're not alone. I want to be an honorary member. I mean,
say Liz.
I don't want to do it.
Well, Liz, you're part of the squad.
Okay, I appreciate
it's
that.
All you had to do was ask.
Just ask.
High five, cement.
High five, cement. So. Not next week, the 24th, mm-hmm. you've got Reasonable Doubt.
Yes.
You recently did Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. And how was that turnout? Did you guys learn anything that maybe you hadn't thought of at that one?
I mean, we learned a lot. We learned a lot about ourselves. We learned a lot about Kendrick's Good Kid, Mad City. But we learned a lot about this city as well.
Yeah.
The way people came out and showed up, we didn't expect the number that showed up, just being honest.
Yeah.
But we were pleased. And we know that that's something that shows us that this city has a place for that and a platform that we can grow it and build it into something that's bigger than any of us ever dreamed of. But on top of that, just people's knowledge, like the way people came prepared to talk about that album, it just shows you the impact that music can have in a community and that music can have on lives, like even us four. We all walked away, I can guarantee, taking something different that Kendrick opened up in our ears and our minds and in our hearts about ourselves.
And you know what's funny is that we listened to the album so many times to break it down, and then we did the Hip Hop Book Club, and then, like, listening to what everybody had to say made me go back and listen to it one more time.
Wow.
At the end, like, because now they've given me, like, we don't want to go up there like we're the, you know, end all be all. We know everything
about
it. Yeah,
we're the authority.
You know, we are just, you know, the mediators, so to
speak.
And so we're learning just like everybody else is learning. So, you know, at the end of the night, I'm like, dang, I never caught that, what this person said. Let me go back and listen to this album one more time. And it was just a dope experience overall, being able to pick up some other things that I never even caught the first, second, and 58 millionth time listening to it.
I mean, I think one thing about it that I didn't expect, we had ministers present, right?
Yeah,
We were talking about Good Kid, Mad City, and you know that album is kind of rooted in, you know, spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
We had ministers there to kind of speak to that to some degree, to give us perspective that either of us had ever talked about. So I thought that was very dope.
Yeah, and just one final note with that. I think one of the coolest compliments that we heard was that people who necessarily don't listen to hip hop went back and listened to the album that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's kind of what we want to do with this. Like, we want to sell the idea of Hip Hop Book Club, not necessarily the album, because we're not gonna have everyone come out for every single album. Like, there's gonna be more Drake people. There's gonna be more, you know, different things like that. But we just kind of look at it like, you know, when we were in school, we had to go to classes that we didn't necessarily like, but we got in there, we learned we need to learn, and we moved on. So,
and read books that you had that you didn't like.
Exactly.
So you don't have to be a fan of the particular artist that we're covering.
Or that album.
I really like that part of it, and I like that you pinpoint that because people need to know. I mean, there's some haters out there who come
out and talk to me.
Right. and they should consider it a forum for them to maybe get their point across, because they might hate the song. They're not going to change my mind.
Right. They're not going to change my mind either, but I do want to be open to those ideas. Right. Kenny's real good at listening to other people's ideas as well.
Yeah.
So you're facilitating a discussion, and that can't be bad. That can never be bad.
Yeah, we had one guy completely challenged the whole Good Kid,
said he didn't even like Kendrick at all.
Wow.
And that was cool. That was
yeah,
cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. And he had facts, you know, like he was saying things that were very relevant, you know, so yeah. It was just good to hear that side.
And that's the essence of the whole thing anyway. It's all based off of, you know, people coming together and talking about music, hip hop, their top five, the best rappers, the best songs or whatever, mm-hmm. and arguing about it. Like me and Sobe, you know, listen, we got an argument right now. It's still going on for the past 2.5 years.
I love it.
Yeah, it's not a lie. Like,
it's deep.
Like, I love it.
It almost came to hand.
No hands.
It almost came to hand. Yeah. But it that's the essence of the whole thing. It's just like, it's not about
shout out to Essence.
Shout out to Essence. But no, it's the essence of the whole thing is that it's not about everybody agreeing with each other. Mm-hmm. No, everybody can disagree and we can all argue about it and debate on it. And at the end of the day, still have a overall appreciation for the album as a whole.
I think the fun part, too, is that we disagree with each other before we even meet up with everybody. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So we fact check. If you throw out something that we think is BS, we're going to tell you that's BS, bro. We can't say that. But I think us four, without trying to be the hip-hop authority, without trying to be an authority on all things, whatever album we cover, we make sure we're as prepared as possible, and we don't want any of us going out there speaking something that's not factual. Yeah.
So, what's your ultimate goal? Not the discussion. We know we want to facilitate the discussion, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. We know we want people to think of hip-hop as a viable art form. Right, because it's amazing 40 years later we're still having to fight for this, right? Yeah. I'm just saying, they got me walking around going hip hop, you know, just throwing my hands up in the air. I'm doing my Spike Lee, wake up!
Yeah.
But, where do you see it going? Do you franchising this thing?
I mean, you're not speaking nothing that we don't doubt,
yeah.
Like, hip hop is delivered with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not finna sit here and fake it and say that we're not confident in the product we're putting together to think that this couldn't go worldwide. Hip-hop is worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're gonna do it and we're gonna be originators of a discussion that not many people get to have on this scale about hip-hop, then we want to take it to the whole world.
Yeah.
And, you know, sponsorships, franchising, books.
Yep.
You know, shirts, merchandise, all of that.
We're going to have a Beast One radio station.
Beast One.
Oh.
That's what I'm talking about. Or like Title. Y'all don't have anything like
Title
this.
Title
Two. Revolt.
We're going to get a Netflix deal. So they're going to, you know, record it and watch it. Like,
if
it's
Dallas
cool.
Morning News want to have us and just do a
little
podcast.
All right.
Listen. That was nice.
That was nice?
All right.
You like how segue into that, bro?
Right. You didn't slide into that room. Yeah. You put it down, and man, I would... Facilitating something like this would be like a dream come true. And if I can talk someone into it, man, because this just feels like the time is now, and it feels new enough that it will catch the right eyes and the right attention. So you keep referencing the turnout for the first event. What was that turnout?
I would put it somewhere between, 50 and 75?
Wow, that's good for this city.
Yeah.
On a Monday night.
On a Monday night.
On a Monday night.
That's very important, on Monday night.
On Monday night to pretty much talk. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't
a concert.
It wasn't a concert. It wasn't a party.
Just to sit down and talk. And I think what was crazy was we're all on the stage waiting for the event to start, and I feel like we look down and we look up, and then there's all these people.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like minutes before it started, so.
Yeah.
Take me through a session. Take me through one of these. Like, how does it start? What's the middle? What's the end? Is there an outline you go by?
So, basically,
let's pick an album and do an album right now.
Okay, we can do that. We can do that.
Y'all want to rerun the Kendrick?
Nah, let him pick.
Let's just pick. What you got, man? No, I don't want to.
We can't give that away.
Because they're like me. Once you give that away. What did he say?
I guess we can do Ready to Die.
Yeah. Oh, no, my.
Can we do, because I ain't going to lie, I'm not as well versed into Ready to Die.
Yeah,
Let's do Late Registration.
Okay. Let's do late registration.
Let's do My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Y'all see this? Y'all hear this right
I
now?
I hear this.
This is what the selection is.
Okay, we ain't even started yet.
Look, and this makes me not really want to do it, because we're going to be here for another hour.
All right, time
out. We got all the time.
We can talk an album, bro.
Yeah.
We can literally pick one.
Heard Ben trying to make us pick an album, right?
Hey, I mean, we got you, Ben. We're going to keep that in mind.
So no disrespect, Ben. So peep this, bro. this is kind of our creative process. Mm-hmm. We got some things in the chamber that we want to do mm-hmm. that we necessarily don't want to release. But yeah. if we were to do one, mm-hmm. we can do, just to give one away, mm-hmm. we can do More Life by Drake.
Let's one go. Life. That's fair. One it's, life. It's recent. Yeah. It's relevant. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
And I am turning my microphone.
I knew it. All right.
Although I'm gonna say this. I went to that Drake versus Lil Wayne show, and oh, nice. I was pleasantly, more than pleasantly surprised.
Right.
I was enraptured.
Exactly.
Wow. I was like, this dude has learned his lessons from being on a TV screen.
Right.
His charisma was just oozing off the stage, yeah. and they were playing back and forth, and they knew their audience.
I appreciate you for that, Don. I appreciate you for that.
Kenny is the biggest Drake fan of us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So how does this start? Let's see. All right, so Pete, before the actual event, we actually prayed as a group. So
yes,
we prayed.
100%.
We welcome our guests, and then to actually get into the process, each of us has a pillar. What a pillar is one part that we interpret of the album. So me, I'm influence. So influence is, how does it influence the people? How does it influence the culture? How does it influence the artist? So if I was to do influence on More Life, how influential was it? 22 songs, 22 of them are charting on the Billboard 100.
Right, right.
So it's influential culturally. It's influential here in the United States. It's influential in South Africa. It's influential in Jamaica or wherever it may be, because that song is charting as an international project. What influenced Drake to make the music? Possibly traveling, things that he's experienced in these other countries.
I think more so just where he's from.
I mean, yeah, he's from the six, but Drake has a multi-dimensional style, so mm-hmm. a lot of that stuff, like Bloke and the London talk, he had to go get that.
It's a melting pot. My bad. Like, it's a melting pot. I feel like people forget that.
People forget that Toronto is the one place where you can walk down one street
right.
and you can walk into a Chinese herb shop mm-hmm. and he's playing reggae music.
Yeah.
You know, you walk into a Greek restaurant mm-hmm. and you're served by people from the diaspora.
Yeah.
I love Toronto as a melting pot because it's a true one. Mm-hmm. It's America likes to talk about it as a melting pot, but it's still segregated in many ways.
Sure.
It's more. It's not even a stew.
Right.
I'm just saying. So when I hear Drake, and I will give him props for this, I hear all of those influences that he picked up, like he was born with them, which I think he was.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's good. That's two.
I'm here for you, Kenny.
That's two. That's two.
And so
one more.
What happens after Kenny speaks on influence, Mike pretty much comes to me, and I'll talk about the visual aspects of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only associated with the music videos that the artist releases for, promotional purposes with the album, but maybe films that mm-hmm. inspired the album or films that were inspired by that music. Or even things like in everyday life that you interpret through seeing the world. So, with More Life, I would say there are certain songs that put me in Toronto at the festival. What's the parade? Carnival?
Carabana.
Carabana.
Yeah.
Some of the music puts you there. Some of the music puts you in London, and I'm watching Peaky Blinders on Netflix. It puts me back in those moments. And then there are some moments where I'm in Atlanta because you got Quavo on the hook.
Or maybe Portland.
Yeah, or Portland. It made me think about what the hell did they name that song Portland for?
Yeah.
Visually, you get to put yourself into the music and see the music through your ears. And that's what I'm trying to do when I talk about an album visually. Well, and I pass the mic.
Okay. Well, I'm going to interject here just for a minute. And I'm going to drop a name, just back up a little bit, because mm-hmm. it's a name. I was talking to RZA.
Once.
Wow. You see how stuffy that was?
I'm sorry, listen.
I was talking to RZA.
This is your platform,
the
right?
RZA?
Yeah. But you just can't drop that and expect us to. You had the opportunity to talk to that guy.
I was talking to RZA.
Number one, he was amazed because I was talking to him about Man with the Iron Fist, the movie that made, right? And because he's like, his first line to me was like, "You a chick." Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And you know about this stuff? I was like, okay, you've dropped a little bit, but okay, we're back. Anyway, one of the things he said that stuck with me that made me reassess how I viewed a lot of a lot of rappers, a lot of hip hop, was he said that the transition to movies for him was nil because every song he made was a mini movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And once I started looking at hip hop through that lens, through mm-hmm. the dudes that were lyrically trying to say something, right. it opened up my whole world. Mm-hmm. And that's to your point yeah. about Drake mm-hmm. and what he's done with the track listing. You know, I remember back, I'm old, y'all. I remember back in the day when there were 12 tracks on a CD and you were happy to get those 12. Yeah. And now Drake's like loaded this thing with yeah. 22. Yeah. And that's like everyone's average is like 18 now.
Yeah.
And that worries me a little, but I understand why, because they're trying to hit all these entry points.
Right.
So I'm going to step away and we're going to pass the mic.
All right. So then. I get the mic next and we'll talk about production. So my main thing is just to talk about just as a whole, just the production, the instrumentation behind the album as a whole, what really, in my opinion, gives it more life. You see how I did that?
Yeah. six.
That was really an accident, but we're going to play it like I did it on purpose.
Excuse me.
But with this album, with More Life, you know, I'm going to look, I tend to like look in like samples. I'm a real big fan of samples, so I'll be looking into like the J Lo sample or yeah. the All Night Long sample or whatnot. And
he sampled himself.
Too. And sampled himself on the Take Care album or whatnot.
Right.
I tend to look at that and look at which producers were on the album, and then just try to look at my almost kind of ties into influence a little bit, because I want to ask like, where was he trying to go with the album, with mm-hmm. the production? How did it influence the entire album as a whole? And so I look back into, like, you know, his upbringing in Toronto and how did, you know, like you said, being able to just walk up and down the street and hear different types of influences, sounds, how did that kind of, you know, draw into what he was creating when he made More Life and wanted to put that out to the people?
Okay.
Yeah. And then my bad. Then I ask a couple little questions. I pass it on to someone.
I love where this is going.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I take it home. And I talk about lyrics. And I think that's the fun part. That's mm-hmm. kind of when everyone just really gets engaged and we start discussing, you know, what are your favorite lyrics? What do these lyrics mean? Mm-hmm. You know, I for the Kendrick that we did, I asked what's a feature that you'd like to see on the album? You know, so it's just kind of questions like that. And we all set aside questions that we ask mm-hmm. so that we can continue to engage with the audience throughout every single yeah. section that we have. So
one guy, a commander pillar, but we all live within each other's pillars. Like
right,
there's
right.
input from everybody.
Well, that's what makes a cohesive album, right?
Right, right, right.
You know, if one of the things doesn't jive with the other, then it's not really an album. I mean, yeah. it's just a collection of tracks,
exactly.
you know, that's yeah. hanging out there. All right. Favorite lyric of all time?
Oh.
It's a hard question.
Of all time?
Well, okay, maybe not all time. Just give me a favorite lyric. Give me the first one that comes in your head.
I got all this J rushing to
me
right now.
One of my favorite ones, that all be haters, that's the way it is. Hater, marry, hater, and have hater kids.
Oh.
Bill Clinton.
You are so wrong, but so right. That was almost tasty. I could taste that.
That's one of my favorite lines, though.
I mean, I'm in Hove right now, so it's we on lease, we buy the whole car as you should. That's
yeah.
where I'm at with it. I like that power move.
Yeah,
keeping in the spirit of Hove. Mm-hmm. Murder is a tough thing to digest. It's a slow process, and I ain't got nothing but time.
Mm. Man, if I got to do Hove, I guess I'm gonna just say. I keep one eye open like CBS.
Yeah.
I got two from Hov.
Okay.
Probably about 15. But I'm going to go with the two that come to me right away. What you eat don't make me ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's yeah. love?
It's like, come on now.
Yeah.
And because when it comes so hard.
Yeah. Right.
And then you've got, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
You know, it's all in intonation. It's all in the way it comes. Mm-hmm. But overall, mm-hmm. don't kill me. I was listening to some old school the other day.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. Like old school, too.
And it wasn't that old school, but it was old school. And what they like to consider old school. And I heard Jamie Foxx singing a hook, and I forgot how much I learned this. I forgot how much that this line kept coming back to me. Remember when he told Twista, "You got a light friend skin, light skin friend, look like Michael Jackson. You got a dark skin friend, look like Michael Jackson." There's so much in that, much to unpack from that. Like, it's comical on the surface, but then once you start thinking about it, it's like that movie Get Out. It digs a hole in your brain, and you're like, "What were you saying? Did you know what you were saying?" Right. That and anything from Black Star, anything, just pick a verse.
Black Star's dope.
Pick a line.
Yeah, Black Star's very dope.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, when the way we were able to just sit here and have this conversation. Mm-hmm. And the way we ran it down, like putting the production together, we basically just had our own little mini hip hop book club right here.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because we could have went deeper into why we picked those lyrics, and, you know, why did it stand out? What did it make me feel? What did it make me see? But that, what you just did, gave us an opportunity to open a small crack in the window of what goes into you know producing a hip hop book club.
We'll go in deeper on the 24th.
And it's so dope, real quick. That when we finally decide which album we're gonna pick, like we say we're gonna have production meetings, right? We always come together. The first meeting is never a production meeting. It's a listening session. We reflect. Hey, what brought you to this, bro?
Like, we reflect.
And it's dope because these are my brothers, but understanding like how you got to the music or what led you to listen to that music and listening or experiencing how it was your first time you heard that. That's dope. And it kind of helps me understand these guys a little better, even though I feel like I know them a whole lot. But music helps you interpret these people.
And I think that's going to be an interesting aspect to Reasonable Doubt whenever we have people come up there, is because I think when a lot of us were talking, none of us were Jay-Z fans out the gate from Reasonable Doubt. We went years and years and years, heard something from Jay, and then came back to it.
I was going to say, that's what happens, because I go to a Jay-Z concert and it's like, okay, where's my Reasonable Doubt?
Right. Yeah.
So. But you know what? Thank you guys so much for spending this 100% time with me.
Oh, that's it?
And listen, I could spend another hour. Y'all know I could, right? But Ben has a job to stop me before I go too far.
Okay.
And he's wants me to stop before
Ben
I go hating. Too far.
Right, shout out to Ben.
Ben never hates.
Shout out to Ben. Shout out to Rose.
Ben never hates. And Rose, Rose stayed with us, y'all.
She did.
That's awesome, y'all. This is Rose Vodka.
It's because of the poem that I spoke. She's sticking around. Get my number after this.
Rose is taking photos of the session so y'all can see
Rose
what we are about.
I'm sorry, Rose is married. I'm sorry.
Shout out to Rose.
I'll email you the poem.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's From the Hip. Come back and see us. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Still From the Hip. Read about us at DallasNews.com and on GuideLife.com. And what's you guys' handle?
At Hip Hop Book Club on Instagram.
Yeah. Amen. We did this thing.
See y'all on 24.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. See you guys.
Thank you, Josie Records.
Bye.